This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I had an appointment out in Edmonds this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to the Ursula, Tom, and Curly show at both 9 and 10 o'clock. And I heard you say something that I wanted to gently try to turn around.
Okay.
I believe I heard you say, as bad as this week's snow was,
I know. I knew
next week it could get worse.
I thought of you.
And I was thinking, as great as this week's snow was, what's coming could be even better.
Maybe I'm just empathizing and sympathizing with those folks who get stuck, can't go anywhere, people like my elderly parents who can't get out of their place.
What about the kids who are sledding and who got to stay home from school? All the workers who got snow days. Think about how happy they all were. And this could be even better. What's coming now?
Yeah, I was definitely projecting and also trying to be sympathetic.
You know what? Here's what I think you should do, Ursula.
What?
You should always try to look on the sunny side of life like I do.
And how ironic is that? That in this particular instance.
Yes.
I keep hearing about the kids having to go to school into, you know, July or whatever because they're going so late because of the strikes. And then on top of the strike.
Oh, you know why they got to go to school into July? Because they get 2 weeks off at Christmas, and then they get a midwinter break for a week in February. Then they get a spring break for a week in April. That's why they have to. There's no room for snow days when you get days off every other week. So, yes, I'm very excited for this. Now, I know that you had Nick Allard on earlier. Is this real?
As real, I believe, as it can be. I mean, so, you know, and you just heard the National Weather Forecast meteorologist also say, you know, they have to keep updating the models.
Yes.
So as of right now, it looks like there's a very good chance of snow, not just Friday and into Saturday, but then again, Monday.
Yes. Yes.
I can handle the Friday, Saturday better than the Monday.
That would be the coziest Friday night in a long, long time if that happens this Friday.
It is great if you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm amazed. Oh, by the way, I do have one non-sunny thing about the snow. So I'm driving in on I-5, and there are these cars that obviously haven't moved since before the snow fell on Sunday. And today's the first day they take them out, and they got 8 inches of snow piled on the roof.
Mm.
And then you're going down I-5, and all of a sudden, a huge, blinding clump of snow flies off the car and hits you in the windshield. And all you have to do is, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You're probably wearing a jacket. Just stand on your car door ledge there and use your sleeve and brush the snow off your roof. Instead of driving around with this pop top of snow that's flying all over the freeway, because that's not safe. We should ticket people for that.
Yeah, you make a good point.
Thank you.
Hey, but do you know why our snow is so much worse? Did you hear that story?
Was that the Cliff Moss thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is it so much worse?
Because we get the wetter snow. So over on the East Coast and the Midwest, they get drier snow. And our snow has more moisture. And then so then it starts melting right away. But then often with our snowstorms, cold air comes in from the north, from the Fraser Valley, from British Columbia.
Yes!
And then it just freezes it. And then like in a week like this week, you know, because we always say, why is it we cannot handle snow like they can in D.C. and New York? And, you know, are we really that wimpy?
Well,
our snow's a little bit different.
I know. But
the other part of it is, we don't have, I mean, did you hear how many snowplows we have?
Yeah, I heard that in your newscast yesterday. And presumably, we can't afford more than what we have. But we just gave huge raises to the governor and to other lawmakers. and the attorney general, they all just got huge raises, but we don't have enough money for snow plows to take care of the citizens around here. So yeah, anyway, I'm very excited about the possibility of a major dumping of snow on Friday. I hope it happens. I hope I'm not getting led down.
And we're going to talk to Nick tomorrow about it.
Okay.
He was busy today.
I know. That's fine. I know. Everyone's too busy for us. Next up in the Fastest 15, I have some rather shocking news for the citizens of this state. Did you know that prisoners in a medium security prison here in Washington have gone on a hunger strike? And I think you will be as outraged as I was when you hear the reason for their hunger strike, because I think we should all stand in solidarity with these prison inmates. It's a medium security prison in eastern Washington. Inmate Michael Lanier tells the Spokesman Review that 90% of the 2,000 inmates at the Coyote Ridge Correction Center are participating in the hunger strike. It started on Friday. A prison spokesperson said it's more like 50%. But listen to the outrageous conditions that they are striking over. In 2015, our state prison replaced hot breakfasts with what so-called breakfast boats, which are boxed meals that usually contain a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, muffin, breakfast bar, and powdered milk. The inmate tells the newspaper that he and his fellow inmates want hot breakfasts again instead of a too full of sugar meal like they're getting now.
You know, breakfast is, or is it not? Because I guess there was that new study. It is the most important meal of the day.
I don't eat breakfast.
I usually don't either. That might be part of my problem.
A lot of mine, yeah.
But it's just like going to a motel or a hotel and they say, you know, breakfast free, you know, full breakfast served, and it ends up being like a muffin.
Yeah, well.
A bagel.
And then the waffle maker that
the
some
one
snot-nosed 7-year-old kid, mom and dad, go make a waffle. And they pour it in that little paper cup. And then the kid can't figure out.
See, that's hot breakfast. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking we maybe should start a GoFundMe for the prisoners, because we got to get these folks some hot breakfast, for crying out loud. So anyway, let's stand in solidarity with our prisoner brothers and sisters. Did we find any audio of fake American Indian Elizabeth Warren yet?
Yes.
Refresh. Okay. All right. So we just looked up at our monitors minutes ago, and Elizabeth Warren was calling a little impromptu press conference because last night it was released. Elizabeth Warren's registration for the Texas bar filled out in her own handwriting. And so it gives her name, Elizabeth Warren, where she lived at the time. And then at the bottom, race. And Elizabeth Warren wrote American Indian as her race. Now, she has insisted for years, ever since she was called out on being a fake Indian, when she claimed that she was to try to climb the halls of academia. And she said, no, I never used my fake Indian heritage to try to get ahead. But on her registration card for the Texas bar, she listed as her race American Indian. And so just moments ago, Elizabeth Warren had this little impromptu press conference. And first she explained why she called herself an American Indian when she wasn't.
When I was growing up in Oklahoma, I learned about my family the same way most people do. My brothers and I learned from our mom and our dad and our brothers and our sisters, and those were our family stories. But that said, there really is an important distinction of tribal citizenship. I am not a member of a tribe.
What?
And I have apologized for not being more sensitive to that distinction. It's an important distinction.
But she used it to try to get ahead when it wasn't true. So she took that DNA test a few months ago. It said she's maybe 1/1024 American Indian. And she said, well, there is a little reason for her confusion.
Are there any more documents or any more forms like this out there that you have listed yourself as that could come out?
Look, this is who I grew up believing with my brothers. This is our family's story. And it's all consistent from that point in time. But as I said, it's important to note I'm not a tribal citizen, and I should have been more mindful of the distinction with tribal citizenship and tribal sovereignty. And that is why I apologize to Chief Baker and why I've made a very public apology.
Okay. So, look, the cover-up, we've known this in the public consciousness ever since Watergate. The cover-up is so much worse than the crime.
Yes.
If she...
I mean, in this case, she, you know, she just launched her bid for the presidency in 2020.
Yeah.
I think she's...
She's done. She's done. And if she, 5 years ago, when she was first called out, if she had said, you know what, I heard that from my family and I took it and I exaggerated it and I'm sorry, I should never have done that. But now we find out she wrote it in her own handwriting after she's insisted for years that she never used it to get ahead. If she had just come clean 5 years ago, said, yes, I exaggerated it, I lied about it, nobody would care today. But instead, she's just doing this insane dribs and drabs thing.
The president has made the case that you've used this part of your background to get ahead. Are you saying that this is something you fundamentally believed about yourself? Or how do you respond to that criticism, that this was a knowing attempt to get ahead by using that claim of ancestry?
So that is a claim that has been fully investigated, and it has now been shown completely that nothing about my background ever had anything to do with any job I got in any place. It's been fully documented, and there's no evidence of any kind other than it had nothing to do.
She is spinning like a top there. So Elizabeth,
maybe this
Warren,
would be a good time for Jay Inslee to announce his run.
Jeez. Well, I'm not sure there is a good time for that. Next up in the Fastest 15, and then, I mean, as fun as this is from 3,000 miles away, can you imagine if we were doing this radio show in, like, Blacksburg, Virginia, or is that West Virginia? So whatever, Richmond, Virginia. Pick a city in Virginia. Can you imagine what it would be like to be doing a radio show in Virginia right now where their top three politician. So you have the governor who made what many of us, I think most of us, thought were incomprehensible talk, comments about post-birth abortion. He says he misspoke on that. So you have the governor. Then after that, his college yearbook photo shows up where it's a guy in blackface and another guy in a KKK hood and robe. And he apologized for the picture on Friday. On Saturday, he says he's not in that photo. He claims that he had nothing to do with this photo that ended up on his yearbook page, where every other picture is a picture of him. And so he's in a mess of trouble. Then you have the lieutenant governor, who's an African-American Democrat. And the governor, did you ever see those campaign literature
Yes.
that the governor sent out? And on the original, it had a picture of the lieutenant governor. And on the one that got mailed to the predominantly more conservative white districts, he erased the picture of the lieutenant governor. So the lieutenant governor,
Justin Fairfax,
a woman has accused him of a sexual assault 15 years ago. And Justin Fairfax has admitted to a consensual sexual relationship. But I tell you what.
She just issued a statement today.
I just read it. Dr. Vanessa Tyson, she's a professor at Stanford, and she describes in detail what she alleges he did to her and it would, it's rape. And again, their party told us during the Kavanaugh hearings that we have to believe every accuser. And so he's in a world of trouble with these accusations. And then you heard the latest with him.
Yeah. With Fairfax?
With yeah. What NBC News tweeted earlier today?
Oh, no.
Oh.
What's that?
NBC News, Casey Hunt, a Capitol Hill reporter for NBC News. I've never seen language like this in a tweet before. Casey Hunt, NBC News reporter, says multiple sources have confirmed that at a Monday night meeting that involved Justin Fairfax talking about how to respond to this woman who's accused him of sexual assault, that he said, F that B.
Oh, no.
But those words were written out in the tweet that NBC News retweeted. So he... And look, if he's being falsely accused, as he claims, I'm sure he has great animosity towards her. But if he sat in a meeting and said, F that B, and so now people are going to NBC News. So the governor could be done. The lieutenant governor could be done. Next up, the attorney general is the third in line. And what's... What did he admit to now?
So he admitted doing blackface as well when he was an undergraduate at the University of Virginia. And he said he wore brown makeup and a wig to look like a rapper during a party. And so now he has come forward saying that he takes full responsibility. And he so he issued a statement. He said he did it even though he knew at the time that it was not appropriate. And that, you know, he apologizes. Now, I'm just reading right now that he's no longer going to be a leader of a national association because he made that admission today. I mean, they're just going down.
Did you see the New York Times headline about his admission?
No.
New York Times. Virginia Attorney General says he also dressed in dark makeup. Do you think they would have called it dark makeup if that had been a Republican politician? Would the New York Times have whitewashed the blackface the way that they did for this guy? So, yeah, the New York Times is just getting hammered for that. You know,
and he's calling it blackface.
Yeah. No, but the New York Times just called it dark makeup. And so the fourth in line is a Republican. So
I think everyone in Virginia needs to just come out and say, okay, look, this is what we did.
And I don't know who the fourth in line is, but given what the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the AG Democrats have all admitted to, I wonder if all the Republicans next up in line are as...
They're all looking at their backgrounds like, let's look at the yearbooks.
Pure as the driven snow. Jeez.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Next up. I ran out of time.
No, we had a good one, too.
I love this next one. We'll get to it. That there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
No idea what time it was. You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. I live tweeted the State of the Union, and I'll play for you some of the clips that caught my attention next on the Dory Monson Show. You know that New Jersey bill you just mentioned?
Uh-huh.
First of all, if a store wants to be all credit card, I think they should be allowed to do that. But and I rarely carry cash anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't have any need. Sometimes that gets you in trouble. Like if you go to a high school basketball game,
yeah,
the table out
right.
front,
you can't get snacks.
Well,
or you can't get even.
You
in.
Can't get in. They don't take debit cards.
Yes.
So you got to always carry a little bit of something. But you know, there are some people who believe that a cashless society is a prophecy of the end times.
Mm.
Yeah, Revelations. It's in the book of Revelations. And the way that some gloom and doom, have you ever heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That the mark of the beast, you have to have the mark of the beast to buy or sell anything. And so there are some doomsday prophets who believe that having a credit or debit card where the beast can track every transaction you make, that that is the mark of the beast, and that it is a fulfillment of the prophecy of end time if we move to a cashless society. But sure is convenient.
But one time I went to the Amazon store in U Village, and I had cash. I didn't have the Amazon app on my phone. I couldn't buy anything. We're like, no, we don't take cash.
Here, I just found it. Because, you know, there are some places that have said, instead of having a debit card, we should just get implantable chips. You've heard about that, right? Okay. And you just would wave your hand in front of something, and your account would be debited. Here it is. It causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we better keep a few bucks in cash. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Last night, I did not know I was going to do this, but I just got cozy and started to watch the State of the Union. And something happened kind of early on that I just struck a thought in me. So I tweeted it out. Oh, I know what the first thing was. I'm as vain as the next guy, but, you know, we're on the live cam here in the studio, and in about 3 or 4 years ago, even though I don't need glasses for distance because I got that LASIK surgery years and years ago, but I need, like everybody, I need reading glasses now. If I had a choice between wearing reading glasses or holding these comically gigantic 3-foot by 4-foot cards that Nancy Pelosi had, that the speech was transcribed on, it looked like a flip card for somebody doing play-by-play.
Was that what it was, though?
Yeah, I mean, those were the speech notes.
But how do you know? Were they like giant letters? That would be long.
Instead of wearing reading glasses, she had these just cartoonishly large kind of cardboard.
I get it, because right now I'm just going around, just everything's blurry for me because I can't handle wearing glasses.
I know.
It's annoying.
But I'm at the point, if I forget, if we go to a restaurant and I forget to grab my, I'm done. Somebody else has to order for me. Okay, so there are some things I did. So I ended up tweeting throughout the speech. I live tweeted the State of the Union last night, and there were, I thought it was a very good speech, and so did the majority of people who watched it. CBS and CNN polls right after had identical 76% approval rates, and they always say, look, Republicans are going to watch a Republican president, Democrats, they're biased. Democrats are either going to stay away, but it was higher than some of Obama's speeches in the post-speech analysis. So some of the things that were just hilarious, I thought.
United States, we are alarmed by the new calls to adopt socialism in our country.
First of all, I do get annoyed at just the ridiculousness of the standing ovation, somebody booing socialism there.
America was founded on liberty and independence.
Don't get me wrong. I boo socialism in my heart, but just yelling the word boo sounds so ridiculous, unless you're talking about your boyfriend.
Here in the United States, we are alarmed by the new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence and not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free and we will stay free.
So they are showing cutaways of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and they are furious. They were just absolutely furious. And then there was this, a true statement by the president that, oh, this made Nancy Pelosi, she was chewing her lip. Oh, she was angry at this one.
Unemployment has reached the lowest rate in over half a century. African American, Hispanic American, and Asian American unemployment have all reached their lowest levels ever recorded.
Oh, man. Seriously, Nancy Pelosi looked so ticked off about record low minority unemployment. And then he talked about immigration. And, you know, we got our lying congresswoman from Seattle, Pramila Jayapal, who just blatantly lied a few weeks ago and said, this man wants to deny all immigration, illegal and legal, to this country, which is a blatant lie by Pramila Jayapal, because the president has always said he wants to keep out the illegals and welcome legal immigrants. He said it again last night.
Legal immigrants enrich our nation and strengthen our society in countless ways. I want people to come into our country in the largest numbers ever, but they have to come in legally.
Okay, right after he said that, the Republicans cheered. The Democrats sat on their hands. The line was, they have to come in legally, has the two parties divided, which is just absolutely unbelievable to me. Then this.
Tolerance for illegal immigration is not compassionate. It is actually very cruel. 1 in 3 women is sexually assaulted on the long journey north. Human traffickers and sex traffickers take advantage of the wide open areas between our ports of entry to smuggle thousands of young girls and women into the United States and to sell them into prostitution and modern day slavery.
Okay, right after that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she wasn't going to applaud. And then she looked around and saw some of the other people in the white straight jackets. They applauded for it, and then she started to applaud. So she came out. She was undecided about sex trafficking. And by the way, you wonder why many Americans have come to understand that a lot of media outlets just flat out cannot be trusted. People thought, Politico. Politico's kind of bipartisan, kind of moderate. They did a fact check about that line from the president when he said 1 out of 3 women who come into this country or smuggled into this country illegally are sexually assaulted. And their fact check was that that's only partially true, because Doctors Without Borders reported that it was 31.2%. And Trump said 1 out of 3, which is 33.33%. And so Politico fact-checked that as only partially correct, because it was 2% below what was originally reported, or what Trump said. Look, you just can't trust most media outlets, except the Dory Monson Show. I got some more sound bites from the State of the Union to play. Lots more straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. This is the first chance I've had all day, last segment in this one, to review the State of the Union speech from last night. I have one very serious question for my far left-leaning listeners. The only thing that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez enthusiastically applauded for last night was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
No one has benefited more from our thriving economy than women, who have filled 58% of the newly created jobs last year. You weren't supposed to do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, it was a standing. You got a standing O for that from the women who were there.
Thank you very much. All Americans can be proud that we have more women in the workforce than ever before. Don't sit yet. You're going to like this. And exactly one century after Congress passed the constitutional amendment giving women the right to vote, we also have more women serving in Congress than at any time before.
Okay. Huge ovation from all the white coat Democrat women who were there last night. And it's a laudable point. Serious question, though. What I hear increasingly from the far left, from people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is that gender doesn't really exist. Gender is just a social construct. That it's all fluid, and there really aren't male and female. That there's just an infinite number of dots on the spectrum between male and female and everything in between. How come when the far left tells us that gender doesn't matter, gender isn't real, gender's the figment of society's imagination, how come those same people cheer wildly for a record number of women in Congress? Because I really thought gender didn't matter. That one confused me, I have to admit. And then the one where, man, I just lost it. I lost it at this one.
Joshua Kaufman was a prisoner at Dachau. He remembers watching through a hole in the wall of a cattle car as American soldiers rolled in with tanks. To me, Joshua recalls, the American soldiers were proof that God exists, and they came down from the sky. They came down from heaven. I began this evening by honoring three soldiers who fought on D-Day in the Second World War. One of them was Hermann Zaitchik. But there is more to Hermann's story. A year after he stormed the beaches of Normandy, Hermann was one of the American soldiers who helped liberate Dachau. He was one of the Americans who helped rescue Joshua from that hell on earth. Almost 75 years later, Hermann and Joshua are both together in the gallery tonight, seated side by side, here in the home of American freedom. Hermann and Joshua, your presence this evening is very much appreciated. Thank you very much.
And I will tell you what, when the Holocaust, the Dachau survivor, and the Holocaust, or the shooting survivor in Pennsylvania, he then raised his arm and saluted the American soldier. Oh, my goodness. That was beautiful. It was a well-delivered, well-done speech. Gotta say. Big Lead 2 next.